From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 5th day of October, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll hear from Ed Usson, agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota, about marketing, and we'll discuss the cash grain markets with Amy Sage of the Andersons. Along the way, we'll be joined by Mark Russo, too. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, and will help us take a look at the agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, corn futures finished the day a quarter lower. The lead option December at $3.79.5 for the harvest month. March at $3.89.25 unchanged. May unchanged as well. $3.94.75 a bushel. July at $3.98.25 on their settlement down a quarter. Next year's December up a half at $3.91.5. November beans 3/4 higher at $10.21.5. January 10/25 up a quarter. March down a half at 10.18.25, and July at 10.21.75, one higher. November beans of next year at 9.71, up a penny for the day. The bean oil 87 cents higher at 32.81, and the soybean meal at $343.60 a ton, down $5.80. July soft red winter wheat 8.25 higher at $5.89.25, and the hard red July at 5.44.5 up 13.5. Both of those being led higher, of course, by the lead options in the December. They were up 11 in the soft and up 14.75 in the hard red winter wheat. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished 65 cents higher for the day at 108.82.5. Feeders at $140, up 15 cents, and lean hogs at $74.75 for 100 pounds, up 25 cents. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace for the day. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us on this Monday.
Well, good afternoon, Ty. Glad to be here on a beautiful forecast for the week.
Well, it should be a great week for producers in the Midwest wanting to get harvest really rocking and rolling. And the marketplace looks like it's just taking a pause before this happens. What happened today in Chicago?
Oh, boy, I was quite impressed with the market's ability to hang in there. Technically, we're seeing a little bit of a correction here and holding the brakes. December corn, 375, fairly good support. These November beans up front, they can hold $10. I think that's fairly constructive, especially maybe if a slow export news week here. China's on their autumn or fall festival holiday, and activity is expected to be fairly slow on that. So Mexico came into the marketplace and stepped up some export news by purchasing 160,000 tons of U.S. corn, which is constructive. But the wheat market just on fire. And there was talk that even though China might be on a holiday break, that China might be shopping for some European wheat. And that helped firm some prices around the world on the wheat side. Also, too, we're looking at Russia talking about export curbs, then plus two, some dry weather through Europe and Russia and so forth has helped support that wheat market, where we saw a lot of spread activity buying wheat, selling corn, buying wheat, and even selling some beans throughout the session. This afternoon, we are looking for the progress report. Whatever comes out is going to be a lot more aggressive as we go through the week here, but the trade's dialed in to see corn harvest as a nation 18% to 21% complete, and soybean harvest anywhere from 35% to 38% complete. Soybean harvest will probably pick up here. We had this frost here overnight and some cold weather, so some of these double crop or wheat beans are fairly well done, and it's going to help speed up some activity here as we move into to late week, I suppose. Big news or big market maker, of course, will be the October 9th crop report. And the significance of this report is we're going to see the numbers, old crop so-called estimates, carried into new crop, where we found we had a lot less supply around. And as we roll that into the new crop, and if we keep the new crop situation export strong and maybe yield questionable, we can tighten up that supply-demand balance sheet quite a bit. So that'll be kind of the big news here as we wrap up the week and I'm sure Mike will do a good job of informing everybody on Friday.
Yeah, we'll have a WASD report, as you said, and the crop production report released at 11 a.m. on Friday. They will roll forward the grain stocks numbers as the old crop ending stocks, and that'll give us the beginning stocks, of course, for the current crop here, the one we're harvesting at this point. And they will also update acreage figures again for Iowa, but for the whole of the United States. Do you expect many changes there?
Boy, that's a consistent moving target. If there is, it's probably minor. But what we've seen here over the last year, even last January's crop report, they went back and did some revisions. We had to wait almost a full year for them to get this old crop a little bit more fine-tuned. So I imagine the grain demand, supply to balance sheets, and all this is going to be more like the financial markets, always revisions to the revisions to the revisions. So there's going to be consistently moving targets. And I guess where I'm going or leading with this is it's going to create some opportunities for both the bull and the bear. And I think you got to kind of be prepared to take advantage of some upswings and downswings here as we move into this winter.
Farmers listening to Commodity Week last week will have heard an awful lot about bullish sentiments in the soybean market as it relates to the South American crop, the late start there to putting that in the ground because of dry weather, the continuation of the La Nina, maybe what's happening here in the United States, though we'll know more about that in October. Prices are good. Is there any reason to wait rather than selling this crop across the scale?
Well, I think you got to evaluate your own situation and kind of market accordingly. We've been aggressively pushing crop out the door here and been doing some replacement strategies. Now, if you're going to do some replacement strategies, you need to do them the same day, because what happens is a guy sells cash and wait for a pullback to replace it, and the thing gets away. So you got to have some type of plan. We advise a covered type of strategy. That way, if this dry weather in South America continues and this market gets a little bit more concerned about it, you can participate in that. But you got to remember, this is their dry season, and there is our forecast of some additional moisture here as we move forward. So it's going to become more of a weather event in the southern hemisphere, and that will be determined later on the growing season. But you are correct here. If this supply-demand balance sheet shows bean ending stocks 280 million bushels or so, and corn ending stocks close to 2 billion bushels, it's much, much tighter than what the trade was looking for 6 to 8 months ago. So that creates a situation where there's some unknown in through here. And with the end user not priced up as much as they wanted to be, that's going to create some good marketing opportunities as we go in this winter.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very good.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Ed Usad from the University of Minnesota now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Ed. Thanks for being with us. Farmers are in the field. They're harvesting both corn and soybeans at this point. Let's start with soybeans today and talk about marketing. I think most of the analysts I've had some discussions with look at the marketplace and say, you know, there's not a lot of carry in the market. Beans are priced well. Maybe we should move some. Do you have a different opinion?
No, I don't. I wish I did. It would make for more exciting talk. But I'm looking at the soybean price. And, you know, futures, yeah, aren't they up 20% in 2 months? We're close to our life of contract high, not far off. I'm looking at cash prices in the Corn Belt. I'll quote southwestern Minnesota, Todd. I know Illinois prices are even better by 20 or 25 cents, but southwestern Minnesota at 965, that's the best cash price. I have to go back to April or May of 2018, aka pre-trade war, to find prices like that. We're way up. I'm telling people, why are you not thinking about a sale right at harvest? Why not?
What about for corn?
Corn, a little different take. We've had a nice rally, and Yeah, I want to say prices are almost up 20% since early August from its lows. But we're still not at a great corn price. I mean, my guess is in your territory, 350 a bushel plus or minus a little bit is your number, southern Minnesota, 335. Not quite something to write home about. Still 40, 50 cents higher than its lows of 2 months ago. There's a difference in corn. We've got a carry in that market. Not a huge carry, but a good one. I was looking, if you look at December of 20 to July of 21, you've got, I believe, 18.5, 19 cents carry there. And that's an opportunity. You put the crop in the bin and you sell that carry. Use a hitch to arrive contract with the May or July 21 contract as your base, or you call your broker and you sell July futures near $4 and wait for the basis to narrow. By the way, that's another aspect of this market that seriously asks you to think about in soybeans selling today. If you look at both the soybean and the corn market, from my perspective, basis is, it's all right. I mean, it's not great, but it's a good harvest basis. And I'm sure it is in your area too, and particularly in soybeans. The thing that would make me hesitate on a harvest sale is if the basis was really bad. Well, it's not. It's pretty good. In the world of corn, the harvest basis is good. It's a normal harvest basis from my perspective. But I like to believe that if you sell the July contract, basis will be even a little bit better, 10, 15 cents better by next spring. You combine that, you put the carry and the basis gain together, and you can take a 350, 355 cash price in Illinois today and turn that maybe into 375 or 380 final price next spring. And that's not bad. That's a pretty good price.
Could you for a moment discuss the export market for soybeans? I've been contemplating whether the Chinese are trying to meet the Phase 1 trade agreement or if they are simply purchasing soybeans from the United States because they're the best deal on the open market.
I'm not sure if I can give you a good answer on that. I have been reading that South America is slowing down their export sales. It's like, really? Have they run out? But they've slowed down. The Chinese, you're reading about their domestic hog market. They've gotten behind, you know, this ASF issue. It appears to be they're putting it behind them. They're rebuilding their herds, more and more hogs to feed. And that's a good, that's working into this good demand scenario. I'm not sure if I can put my finger on it. I don't know if the market has a clear sense of it either. All we know is that sales are good. I don't think I'm kind of with you. I don't think this is about the trade agreement. I mean, I'll take it for whatever reason it comes. I don't think there's really an attempt to meet the terms of that trade agreement. I think that's going to be hard to do however we do it. You know, the trade agreement was written on dollars of sales. And of course, we tend to think of commodity sales, particularly grains and soybeans. We tend to think of tonnage. And we have to remind ourselves that I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when we set a record on tonnage to China. And yet our record sales goes back earlier than that because, you know, a bushel of soybeans worth $12 is more dollar than a bushel of soybeans at $9. So we've got that going. The price of soybeans, even with this recovery, are not as good as it was a few years ago. I don't think we're going to make that dollar commitment, but it really doesn't matter as long as we're making the sale.
That's Ed Ussed. He's an agricultural economist at the University of Minnesota. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. It's pretty chilly this morning. How chilly did it get across the Midwest?
In terms of this morning's minimum temperatures, there were pockets that dropped down to, right to around freezing in areas of the in central and even southern areas of Illinois, and we saw that adjacent areas of Indiana and Iowa as well. So a few pockets did report some frost and a few freezes, but it was still far from any kind of widespread freeze this morning. And going forward now, this morning was the coldest morning as temperatures now are beginning to warm up. And this is starting the stretch of what looks to be a lack of freezing temperatures upcoming, at least over the next couple of weeks in the Midwest.
Yeah, so our temperatures are going to build, what, into the 80s, at least here by the weekend?
It looks like that, yeah. Temperatures are climbing to well above normal levels. And for this upcoming weekend, the early part of next week, yeah, highs in the 70s and 80s across much of the Midwest, and you know, little, return of summer-like temperatures before then a little bit of a cool down in the middle of next week, but still staying warmer than normal.
Yeah, and lots of sunshine through the same period, so harvesting should continue without interruption.
Absolutely. The warmth will be accompanied by a drier than normal pattern, which has been in place much of the past few weeks. So, yeah, that's going to equate to very ideal harvest weather throughout the middle or even looking out into the latter portion of October as well.
Does that drier than normal pattern persist into the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the nation?
Yeah, Todd, it certainly does. And that is an area that still needs to be watched pretty closely. If it wasn't for a major rain event, actually due to tropical moisture coming in back about a month ago or in the middle part of September, then it would have been even, it would have been really dry there. And one of the driest late summer, fall, and early fall periods here for the Plains hard red winter wheat belt. So, but since that event, back a few weeks ago, they've turned dry, are going to stay on the dry side, and actually be quite warm as well.
And then on the flip side of this, we still have a very active tropical storm set of systems in the Gulf and in the Atlantic.
Yeah, we're currently tracking two systems right now. We have Tropical Storm Gamma just north of the Yucatan Peninsula in the southern Gulf of Mexico, and then also Tropical Storm Delta in the Northwest Caribbean. For U.S. agriculture interests, the main item is actually not Gamma, but is Delta. Delta will be tracking into the Gulf of Mexico in the middle of this week, will continue to strengthen and will likely become a hurricane, eventually making landfall on the northern Gulf Coast, kind of in and around Louisiana or southeast Louisiana or even Mississippi, Alabama coming up on Friday or later on this week. So with that expected forecast here, certainly some impacts to the Port of New Orleans needs to be watched for potential shut-ins here or closures of the port, and then also a heavy rainfall along with some wind in areas of the southern delta, and then even on into the southeast for some halting of harvest progress across those areas.
Tropical Storm Gamma, that's the seventh named storm in the second set of potential names. It seems like that's got to be a record pace and record number of storms. Is that the case?
Yeah, we're certainly setting more records here in terms of tropical activity. And really the last time that we reached the only time in history that we that here in the U.S. in the Atlantic basin reached the Greek alphabet, that was back in 2005. Now, 2005 also had a gamma and a delta. But this year, those storms have formed much earlier, about 3 to 4 weeks earlier than what occurred back 15 years ago. So very noteworthy here.
As the home of the Greek system in the United States for universities, I'm glad we get to put those letters to use. All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us today.
You're welcome, Todd. Thanks for having me.
That is Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. On this Monday, Amy Sage joins us from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Amy, thanks for being with us. Why don't you tell me about the situation on the ground first? What's harvest going like for producers in the east central part of Illinois?
Yep. So it's gotten off to a pretty slow start in general here with waiting on corn to dry down. And then, you know, as soon as people kind of have started to switch over to beans, we've had a few rain events that slowed things down a little bit. So it hasn't been the quickest start here, but we've got a great forecast here. The 10-day looks fantastic. So we anticipate getting a large chunk of bean harvest knocked out this week, and then probably next week getting a lot of corn harvested. So we are starting to ramp up here a little bit more. You know, we haven't seen a ton of activity yet to get a good feel for how the yield outlook is going to be for the duration of the season, as most of what we've seen has been the earlier planted corn and the earlier planted beans. But so far, you know, yield reports that we've been hearing have been okay, pretty good. Definitely not a record setter at this point by any stretch, but not a disaster either. So, you know, kind of looking at the APH on the early numbers that we've seen so far. So we'll see how that continues. There's going to be a lot of variability. We had a lot of replant corn in this area. So it's probably going to take a while to get a good handle on it. But corn should be drying down this week with warmer temperatures. We had sun and wind yesterday and should be putting the hammer down on beans this week.
Corn basis has remained pretty firm?
It has, yeah. So we haven't seen a lot of change in general in local corn or bean basis here. And it does feel firm. I guess it doesn't feel like it's going to slip anytime in the near future, even with harvest ramping up. So sometimes you can see that setback once we get to cut slot. And maybe we will when we get, you know, next week when we get heavier into corn. But it doesn't feel very threatening right now. It feels pretty stable where it's at. And we're looking at average basis levels. So it's kind of reflective of what the yields we're seeing so far are. You know, we don't have anything too extreme one way or the other, corn or beans.
How's your train market to the southeast holding up?
You know, it's been good. We've seen some quick ship opportunities here with the later start to harvest. You know, you saw some drying deals in this area on corn, so that, you know, you're seeing those because there were some early train opportunities there with the slower start to harvest. But it's been okay so far.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it. Good to talk with you.
You too, Todd. Thanks.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, helps us to wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.